All right, so today we're going to circle back to a name everybody knows, Eastman Kodak.
Kodak,
but we're going to look at it through the lens of how they had their hands on the future, but they kind of fumbled the bag.
Yeah, Kodak. You know, you hear that name and you just think of, I mean, for so many generations, they were photography. They weren't a photography company. They were photography.
They were synonymous with it.
And just their market share was astounding. Like in the 1970s, they had something like 90% of film sales in the U.S. and 85% of the camera market.
Wow.
We're talking billions and billions of dollars in revenue.
And it's so interesting because, like, Kodak moment, that's still a thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, they're so tied into the fabric of, like, Americana and our culture.
It's just amazing.
So the question is, how could a company that was so innovative, so seemingly invincible, how could they stumble so dramatically? And we've got some sources here that lay out that story.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of like dive into those today and
and
like really unpack how could the company that invented the digital camera fail so spectacularly in the digital age?
Yeah. You know, to really understand the fall, you got to kind of appreciate the height of their power. So let's circle back to Kodak's golden age.
Okay.
And it was a real golden age. It wasn't just luck. Like, this was built on some serious innovation.
Right.
And a lot of it was this guy, George Eastman.
Yeah, George Eastman.
Who had this vision of making photography accessible to everyone.
Yeah, and he did there by simplifying the process, right?
Yeah, totally.
It was that slogan.
Yeah, you press the button.
Press the button, we do the rest.
We do the rest.
And that really democratized photography. Because it wasn't just for professionals and people with dark rooms and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, it wasn't this like super technical thing anymore. And, you know, you think about that ease of use. I mean, that's really what embedded Kodak into everyday life, you know?
Right. Like everybody had a Kodak camera, you know, to capture birthday parties and vacations and all that kind of stuff.
And that's exactly what made them synonymous with photography and with capturing memories.
So then they have this near monopoly. They have this cultural significance.
Right.
And that must have created a real powerful inertia.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it must have been hard to see past that success.
Yeah, to kind of picture a future where film wasn't at the center of it all.
It's 1975.
Okay.
Bell bottoms are in. Disco's hitting the airwaves.
Right.
And inside Kodak's own labs, there's something revolutionary brewing.
Oh, yeah.
The first digital camera. It's unbelievable to think that the seeds of their eventual, like, downfall were sown by their own innovation.
Right there in their own labs.
So tell me about this first digital camera.
Yeah, so this Kodak engineer, Steve Sasson, he creates this thing.
Okay.
And it's fascinating because this wasn't just some theoretical idea.
Yeah.
He actually builds a working digital camera. Now, picture this. This thing weighed about 8 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Not exactly pocket-sized, right?
Yeah.
It recorded images onto a cassette tape.
Oh, wow.
And the image quality was, well, let's just say your first flip phone probably took better pictures.
Right.
But it was still groundbreaking because the fundamental breakthrough was there.
Right.
Capturing and storing images electronically.
With film.
No film required.
So it's like the future was literally right there.
Literally right there.
In an 8-pound box.
Yeah.
So the big question is, why didn't they immediately champion this?
Well, you know, this raises a really critical question.
Yeah.
And the answer kind of gets to the heart of what's often called the innovator's dilemma. You see, Kodak's film business at this time was ridiculously profitable.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Every picture taken meant someone had to buy film, develop it, often print it.
Right, right.
All revenues streams for Kodak.
Right. It's like razors and razor blades.
Exactly. You know? Film was there, to put it bluntly, their golden goose.
And it's that classic trap, right? That the very success that defines you can blind you to
The threats and the opportunities.
And the opportunities.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that when Sasson showed the camera to the executives,
right,
the reaction was not great.
No, not at all.
And there's even that quote, who's going to want to look at pictures on a screen?
Yeah, yeah. That's
and that just highlights their misunderstanding of like where things were headed.
Totally. They were so invested in the film paradigm, in that recurring revenue model, that they just couldn't envision a world where photos were primarily viewed on screens or shared instantly.
Right. They were so focused on the physical.
Exactly. The physical prints.
The prints.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, from a purely short-term financial perspective,
right,
protecting their film business, it made sense.
Right.
But strategically, it was a catastrophic miscalculation because they didn't see that digital wasn't just some niche novelty.
Right.
It was a disruptive force that was going to make film obsolete for most consumers.
So now it's the 1990s.
Okay.
And digital photography is gaining traction. It's moving from early adopters into the mainstream.
Right.
What's Kodak doing at this point?
So if we kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture of how markets evolve, you see a crucial divergence.
Okay.
While Kodak is, you know, dragging their feet, a lot of their competitors are like, okay, we see the writing on the wall here.
Right.
Companies like Sony and Canon, they're actively investing in digital R&D.
Right.
They're coming up with these really innovative digital camera technologies, and they're aggressively getting into the market.
Yeah.
They understood that consumer preferences were changing, and Kodak was unfortunately much slower to adapt. I mean, they dabbled in digital cameras, but they didn't go all in.
Right.
Maybe still hoping that film would somehow have a resurgence.
Right, and the consequences of that were really dramatic.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, like we said, their revenue peaked in 1996 at $16 billion.
Yeah.
Just 15 years later, in 2011, it had plummeted to $6
billion. Yeah, it's a breathtaking decline.
That's huge.
Yeah, it really shows you the cost of strategic inertia.
Of not keeping up.
You exactly with the times. They were losing ground fast as digital cameras became, you know, cheaper, more convenient, offered instant results.
And it seems like when they finally did try to make a bigger push into digital, it was kind of too little too late.
It really does, you know? It's like they were trying to catch up in a race where others had this huge head start and a much clearer sense of where they were going.
Yeah, I remember reading that even in the 2000s, when digital cameras were like clearly dominant, Kodak was still,
I know, it's crazy,
really pushing film cameras.
It really is. It's almost baffling looking back on it. It's like they couldn't let go of that past success.
Right.
And what's interesting to look at is contrasting their story with Fujifilm.
Okay.
Another huge player in the film industry.
That's right.
They were facing the same disruption, right?
Right.
But they made a real effort to diversify.
Right.
They moved into all these different sectors like cosmetics,
right,
pharmaceuticals, high-tech materials. They were leveraging their chemical expertise.
Right.
So they adapted. They found new avenues for growth.
Okay.
Whereas Kodak just kind of stayed tethered to this fading business.
So even though they had that early lead in digital, they didn't really embrace it. And ultimately, that led to bankruptcy in 2012.
Yeah, a staggering fall from where they were.
And I think what makes it so like fascinating is that irony.
Yeah.
That the company
that invented it,
that laid the groundwork for the whole thing,
right,
was undone by it.
The exact thing they created.
And they had the resources. They had the brand recognition.
They had everything, yeah.
They had the patents.
They had a huge distribution network.
So what was missing?
What they didn't have was the strategic vision,
right,
and the courage to disrupt their own, you know, super profitable but unsustainable business model.
So where does that leave Kodak today? They're obviously not the giant they once were.
They're a much, much smaller company now.
Okay.
A shadow of their former self. They, you know, they came out of bankruptcy,
right,
and they've kind of refocused their business on areas like printing technology, industrial printing,
right,
and licensing their brand and patents.
Okay.
So they're still around, but their impact on the consumer photography market is pretty much nothing compared to what it was.
So circling back to Kodak's story, what's the big takeaway for you?
I think the big lesson here is so stark and so relevant today. Innovate or die.
Yeah.
You know, complacency, clinging to past successes, not wanting to embrace change. That's That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
Kodak shows us that even market leaders with these groundbreaking innovations can fail if they don't have the agility, the foresight, the willingness to disrupt themselves before someone else does.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, Kodak had a glimpse of the future. They literally held the key to it.
They did.
But they hesitated.
Yeah.
And they kind of allowed other people to unlock
it. To run with it, yeah.
So what keys are out there today?
That's a good question.
That we're overlooking.
It is a good question.
And, you know, it could be across industries, in technologies, maybe even our own personal lives. Like, what are we not seeing?
It's a fascinating thought to kind of leave us with.
It is. It is. Well, thanks for...
Of course. Yeah.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with me.
Absolutely.
It was a good one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
So that's it for today. Catch you next time.